It is the hardest thing to believe. In fact, many do not even believe it happened. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? And what difference does it make anyway? Coming up on Cross Connection. Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so excited that you're joining us, but at the same time, we are sad because, Sergio, this is the last episode of The Gospel According to Mark.
The very last one is bittersweet, but let's make it more sweet than bitter. And right now for our study, we're going to, before we look over the whole Gospel of Mark, we're going to look at the end of the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to explore the seemingly impossible, the resurrection of Jesus. It was difficult for Jesus' disciples to believe then. It's difficult for many of us to comprehend now. And because of that, many people today view Jesus as a wise teacher, but are unable to accept him as a risen Lord. So as we look back on this gospel, how does the resurrection change how we view everything that came before it? What's the difference between a dead teacher and a risen Lord? As we explore that, ponder that, and get connected with today's question, what's the significance to you of serving a risen Lord? Get connected on Facebook, Twitter, email, or shoot a quick text over to 707-200-1075.
And we are joined today by Jillian, Martha, and Jennifer. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, we are all wearing these t-shirts.
We are all connected, yeah.
I am connected, exactly. So hopefully you are also connected because we are connected. And Sergio, tell us how people can get these t-shirts because I'm sure you would like to have this t-shirt as well. It's a very good quality.
That's right. We're all connected t-shirt. Right now. I know you're connected because you're watching. So if you want to let the world know you're connected, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're going to be releasing some information very, very soon on how you can get your very own cross-connected. I'm connected teacher, so get connected with us.
And make sure to tell your friends to like us on Facebook as well. So this is what we will be, obviously it's the last episode of Cross Connection, live episode of Cross Connection of the Gospel According to Mark, and I hope you're sad just as we are sad. our study today is a fascinating study because first we will talk about Jesus, his death and resurrection. And then the second half of program will be a very interesting and fascinating journey because we will go through the entire Gospel of Mark. And if you missed any of the episodes, you will enjoy it very much because we will go in a couple of minutes. And it will be fun to do.
Nice.
So let's jump into the Word. And before we do that, Jennifer, could you pray for us?
Sure. Dear Father in Heaven, thank you for this opportunity to be taught from your Word. And I just ask that you send your Holy Spirit to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, so we'll take a look at Mark chapter 15, the last few verses of Mark chapter 15, and then we will talk about Mark chapter 16 for a couple of minutes. So in Mark chapter 15, the end of Mark chapter 15, there is a very interesting story. And let's get into the Word.
Okay.
So in Mark chapter 15, we see the death of Jesus Christ that happens behind me on those crosses. Mm-hmm. And then we see how Joseph of Arimathea come into picture. We have never heard about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you? Mm-hmm. At least.
Well, not in Mark yet.
Not in Mark yet, exactly. Not in Mark. And let's read two verses, Mark chapter 15, verses 42 and 43. Sergio, could you read for us?
Yeah.
These verses.
Now, when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What did it take for Joseph of Arimathea to go and ask Pilate for a body of Jesus?
Yeah. Which is strange, but Mark tells us it's courage. This is a courageous act that he goes in there and demands the body of Jesus, which we know, knowing what we know about crucifixion, that the worst part wasn't just hanging up there initially the first few hours. It was that they would leave you up there and then animals would come and you would die a very slow, painful death until there was nothing left of you up there. And so Joseph is taking a bold stand that, no, we got to get him down. The Sabbath is coming. We need to bury him.
But why courage? Why did he have to be courageous to do it?
Yeah, Jesus was public enemy number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, for you to associate yourself with the most hated person by the religious leaders anyway, that was really taking the stigma that Jesus had attached to him and also saying, you know, I want to be associated with him to the extent that I'm going to be responsible for his burial.
Mm-hmm. So, and who was Joseph of Arimathea again? Who was he?
He was a religious leader.
He was a religious leader.
Yeah. Pharisee.
Yeah.
He was a Pharisee.
Public council member. Mm-hmm.
Public council member. So what do you think he was doing that night when Jesus was arrested? That night when Jesus was in the high priest's quarter?
He was probably sitting right there.
Yes.
Between the council.
Most likely.
Yeah. Yes. And I was, there was something that I was reading, and it said that actually when you were crucified, you were not allowed to be buried in a normal, regular tomb. You had to be buried outside the city in like the common graves. Mm-hmm. So for him, it was actually against the law to request him to bring him into a regular and actually his tomb. But it took a lot of courage.
Well, and he wasn't just going and asking anybody. He was asking Pilate. I mean, that's like going into the Oval Office and saying, hey, Mr. President. Courage. I'd be shaking. Yeah.
This is the one who just put Jesus up on the cross. This is the guy who just put him up there. Like, and he walks with so much courage. And what I love about this passage is that it highlights a theme that we have in all of the Gospel of Mark, which is that the kingdom of heaven is something that transcends all of our human boundaries and walls. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't paint a story, all the religious leaders are bad, all the Pharisees are bad. No, look at this guy. This is a hero of the story.
It's very open to everybody.
Yeah, anyone can be good. And we see even this guy who is a Pharisee, these Pharisees who have just condemned him to death, this Pharisee does this amazing, courageous act for Jesus.
And but I think you have to also remember that there was another meeting, maybe not talked about in Mark, but Joseph had asked Jesus to meet with him at night to talk to him about his mission.
Or maybe was it Nicodemus?
Was it Nicodemus?
It was Nicodemus.
I'm mixing them up. But they were both very important people.
Absolutely. In fact, Mark specifically emphasizes that it was the time of the preparation, because it was the preparation day.
Yeah.
The preparation day, Friday. That means that they were supposed to be cleansed. In order to be cleansed, you cannot touch a dead body. Because if you touch a dead body, you're immediately unclean. What did Joseph do?
With his hands.
With his hands.
Yeah, they brought him down with his hands.
Right, but it also goes along with the whole theme throughout Mark of how Jesus is saying that God and God's word and God's teaching is supreme, and following him is supreme over the traditions and the laws and the legalism that was so prevalent in their society.
This is just incredible, because look what happens. Yeah. This is a contrast to Peter. Peter is the disciple of Jesus. He's hiding. He's scared. Mm-hmm. Here is Joseph of Arimathea, the one who is...
He has everything to lose.
He has everything to lose.
But despite that, he keeps on moving forward.
And I think that's a powerful thing that we explored last week, and we're seeing it here again, that at the cross is full of unexpected faces.
Yeah.
That all of the people you'd expect to be there aren't there. The disciples aren't there. So many people that you would expect to be there aren't there. Yet this Simon of Cyrene guy, who's he? He's carrying the cross up for Jesus.
Yeah.
This guy that we've never seen his name before, he's bringing Jesus' body down, being very courageous. A centurion we've never seen before is proclaiming him God. We see that at the cross there are a lot of unexpected faces that are transformed and do amazing things for Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. That's beautiful.
And I would like us to travel all the way back when the Gospel of Mark was just written, just recorded. Imagine those people who were seeing the persecution on one side and on the other side. They're terrified, but at the same time they read these stories and they're like, there is this great hope. I would like us actually to see a picture of Alexamenos Graffito. Okay. Alexamenos Graffito. This is actually a picture on the wall that they found in Roman catacombs. It's that picture, you will see it describes, as you can see, it's a person. You will see it clearer. It's a person on the cross with the head of a, help me, what is
like
the
a
head?
Horse.
A donkey. So on that cross, you see a human being with the head of a donkey, and then there is a person to the left, to your left, that is worshiping. Yeah. And it says, Alexamenos Sebetos, so Alexamenos worships his God. Alexamenos Sebetos Teu.
It's mocking.
It's a mocking picture.
Yeah.
This is who you worship. You worship the one who is crucified. So
and he rode into the city on a donkey.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So because you worship just a donkey, just nobody. Mm-hmm. But think about it. When people read these stories, they're like, no. I want to worship this God because this God died for me. And just like this Joseph of Arimathea, despite everything, I will be ridiculed next day.
Yeah.
He knows that he would be ridiculed.
Yes.
But despite of that, he comes to Pilate and he says, you know what, give me this body. I want to bury him because he is the one who brings the kingdom of God.
You can have everything else, give me Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
Hallelujah.
That's awesome.
Hallelujah. So yeah. how can we today apply it in our lives when we are not necessarily ridiculed for being Christian, but at the same time, we also need to stand firm?
Well, I think when you see that the kingdom of heaven, like we were saying, transcends any of our social boundaries, ethnic mm-hmm. boundaries, gender boundaries, boundaries of power, that when you see that no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what the world says you are, or how low you should be or ought to feel about yourself, that you are accepted and that you are loved and that you are saved, then your response is, I don't care about any of these social or ethnic or gender or any boundaries anymore either, because my kingdom transcends that. And so you stop to follow the rules of this world in the way that you used to, and that you're not afraid to then walk up to Pilate and say, give me Jesus. You know, I don't mm-hmm. care that it might mean my head, give me Jesus. And I love this display of courage from him there. It's really empowering to me. Mm-hmm. To read.
Yeah, I like what you said about how his kingdom transcends everything, because mm-hmm. by worldly standards, Jesus wasn't really anyone extraordinary. He wasn't mm-hmm. rich. He was a tradesman. He was not nobility. He was mm-hmm. just a regular guy.
He was mm-hmm. a builder.
But he's the creator of the universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you kind of have to step back and look at that, it just is very mm-hmm. empowering and very yeah. awe-inspiring. And that, to me, is what Mark is trying to prove chapter after chapter.
Mm-hmm. And it also mm-hmm. requires faith because, you know, by human accounts, Jesus was definitely losing here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. following someone who's being murdered is probably not the world's view of a right. successful plan. Mm-hmm. And so for this person to take the side of Jesus before he had been resurrected took a whole lot of faith, to put everything out there on the line yeah. and say, you know, I'm going to associate myself with him even though he's still dead. I think that was huge. And I think we should have that same type of faith and courage today, but only God can give that to us.
Mm-hmm. And so even Jesus himself said it. He said, seek the kingdom of God and everything will fall into place. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the crucifixion, it was so powerful that it transformed so many people, as you were just mm-hmm. talking, that if we just look at Jesus and Jesus, what he did for us, and out of our love for him, mm-hmm. everything will just change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
this is great. And it wasn't just Joseph of Arimathea who was there. Because if we take a look at verses 46 and 47, and Jillian, could you read verses 46 and 47 of chapter 15?
Yes. Then he, referring to Joseph, then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus observed where he was laid.
So as you can see, there are also women who are present there. Mm-hmm. So it's Joseph of Arimathea and also women who are also the disciples of Jesus who came to the point of literally being at the cross and also following mm-hmm. Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah. And I would like us to take a look at the tomb, because what you see behind Sergio, and even we can even take a closer look, because today's tombs are not necessarily what they were in the first century Israel mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. Or Jerusalem area. And this is what you see, one of the tombs. So you would see those benches. Mm-hmm. This is where the body would be placed. Mm-hmm. It would be stored there for about a year. Mm-hmm. And then after a year, that the bones would be collected.
Decomposed, yeah.
Decomposed. After the body is decomposed, the bones would be collected and they would be put in a box. And then mm-hmm. from that box would be placed in those holes. Do you see those mm-hmm. holes?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is where the body would be, this is the box where the bones would be put in. Mm-hmm. And then that box would be put into mm-hmm. those holes. So this is what they were anticipating to do. Mm-hmm. That's why the women were anticipating to embalm the body mm-hmm. of Jesus, mm-hmm. because the bones would be decomposed and the body would be placed in this box mm-hmm. and the box would be placed in this little dark hole in the wall. Huh. But what we will find out after the break will be just amazing, because there was no box, because there was no hole in the wall, because there was something amazing that will happen in the next chapter. And that's why Mary, the mother of Jesus, and everybody else will be like, oh, we're anticipating something. Anticipate this something with us. Don't go anywhere. And this is a perfect time for you to connect with us as well.
That's right. And the resurrection of Jesus changed everything for Jesus' followers. What does it mean to you? Our question today is, what's the significance to you of serving a risen Lord?
Welcome back. We just learned how Joseph of Arimathea, he completely forgets about what this world has to offer and says,
Amen.
You know what? I want to take care of this, the body of the of my Savior. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what we also, this is just incredible, because there was, everybody was anticipating that after a year, this body of Jesus would decompose, and they would collect the bones and put them in the box and put this box in the hole, in this hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. But this is not what is about to happen. Mm-hmm. And that not what is about to happen is in chapter 16. In chapter 16. So what if we could start reading verses 1 and 2, and then we will jump to verse 5 and 6. Jennifer, could you read for us chapter 16, verses 1 and 2?
Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen.
So what we see here is just the Sabbath night. So it's just the Sabbath evening. Mm-hmm. Because this is what it says. Sabbath was after the Sabbath was passed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was
so Saturday night.
Saturday night. Yeah. So Saturday night, till this day, on Saturday night in Jerusalem, all stores are opened wide, and they all work all the way till 2 a.m. Mm.
Wow.
So this is what happens. Yeah, because the Sabbath is over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Saturday, the Shabbat is over. So everybody, let's get whatever we need to get. So, and then early on Sunday morning, they went to check, to embalm the body of mm-hmm. Jesus. But what did they find there? And tell me, what did they find there? And maybe if you would like, you can even read it if you would like. Verse 5.
That the stone had been rolled away from the door.
The stone was rolled away. And what, like in chapter 16, verses 5 and 6. And Sergio, could you read verse 5 and 6?
And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him."
So you see, it's those women are the ones who see this picture, magnificent picture of Jesus' resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just incredible because it's so full of details that once again prove that it couldn't be just a myth. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be just invented. Mm-hmm. Women, come. The stone is rolled away. This man, young man, or like an angel sitting there by the mm-hmm. by the tomb mm-hmm. of Jesus. What does it tell you? How significant that event is?
To me, what I like is not that they see Jesus, but they see an empty tomb. I think given the what you had explained on what their expectation is, and there's this whole plan on putting his body there, a year later you put it in a box and the hole in the wall, that you have these expectations of what you're expecting to do, and instead, wait a minute, he's not there, you mm-hmm. know, and that's, I think, a good starting point when you examine the resurrection of Jesus, that there is that moment of, wait a minute, everything's different, everything's changed.
Exactly, like I was sitting here trying to absorb as you were explaining everything, and I would be shocked. I mean, I'd be excited and you want to believe, but mm-hmm. it's still mm-hmm. that, but no, that's not how it was supposed to happen. And then it would just be really, really exciting.
Yeah, because for us now, it's like the resurrection is like, okay, this is the resurrection of Jesus. Mm. Because we hear about it very often.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you try to empty yourself from that idea, that the resurrection of it's conventional, think about it. Dead people stay dead.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen somebody just raising from their tomb and just dead people stay dead? Yeah. This is what this is what they've experienced. Mm-hmm. And now out of blue it's just wait a second. What is going on?
And I like the fact that I think this is one of the most important things in the gospel story, because mm-hmm. you know, we serve a risen Savior, not one that died and is still dead. So I think it's one of the most powerful moments in the gospel story, and I think it's really significant that Jesus didn't decide to share this with, you know, the king or the high class religious leaders or the elites or the people who thought they were the holiest in Jerusalem, because there were a lot of people who thought they were really holy and they spent a lot of time studying. Mm. But these women who probably had not spent a whole lot of time, you know, learning from the Pharisees and the council members and all these people, had the opportunity to witness this most important moment in the whole Bible, which is Jesus being risen from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Because for Christianity, that is the most important event. Without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no Christianity.
Right, yeah. It's kind of the point.
It is,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the point.
But it is also amazingly incredible because they were, it could have been different, it could have happened differently. Because
sure.
After the resurrection, what happened, that young boy who was sitting there in the white robe or an mm-hmm. angel, mm-hmm. he could have appeared to the disciples and he could and have said, you know
sure.
what, Jesus has resurrected.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
instead, he's waiting for somebody to come and yeah. check.
For the people who
they
come
were
looking
for
him.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
This is exactly what even today Christianity
yeah.
is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not about coming and, no, people, you come and see for yourself.
And they were coming to serve.
Exactly.
They were coming to yeah. serve Jesus and provide this beautiful, you know, yeah.
to honor him.
Honor for, yeah. To him. Mm-hmm. And instead of being in hiding, which would have probably been the more practical thing to mm-hmm. do.
Right.
And it was probably the moment of most desperation. Like, they yeah. had just lost every hope.
Yeah.
And they were devastated.
Sure.
And here they come, and it's so beautiful how the angel is right there waiting to give them the good news
mm-hmm.
and to change completely their worldview.
Mm-hmm. So
that's beautiful. It happens to us today.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so powerful what we were talking about here, that the good news is there, and it's there for people who are seeking it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that it's not shoved down the throats of people who don't. I mean, I've thought about this a lot. Why didn't Jesus just appear to other people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why didn't he appear to the... a lot of people didn't believe the Christians afterwards. If he had just appeared to Pilate, and if he had appeared to the Sanhedrin, and if he had appeared to all these people, that would have been, see, he did. We were wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness,
yeah.
we have the fear of God in us now. But he appears just to his followers, which makes it suspicious from those who are skeptical, but it also says a lot about his kingdom, and that he appears to those who seek him, yeah. to those who love him.
And not just to the followers, but he chooses the most unexpected of all
yes.
followers,
yeah.
women. And in fact, it even says in the Bible that Mary, from whom he cast out seven demons.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
is the one who
the
Jesus
Sinnerhood.
Reveals. This is the greatest message of all Christian
yes.
messages.
Sure. And I think maybe one of the things, and I can hold it until after the break if you
absolutely
like.
Not.
I can see Alex's face.
Not after the break, but after the hidden treasure.
After the hidden treasure.
Yeah.
I'll
like to see
provide
it?
Another treasure.
Yeah. Would
no.
you like to see it? Okay. Let's check this hidden treasure out together. Every story has an ending. That is also true for Mark's gospel, and that's the subject of today's hidden treasure. Mark 16:9 through 20 was most likely a later edition. The absence of the ending in the earliest manuscripts clearly supports that. But that does not mean that there is nothing we can learn from this passage. Great emphasis here is laid on the initial unbelief of the disciples, despite the abundant evidence of witnesses. In Mark 16:11, we read that Mary Magdalene was the first who saw Jesus and ran to the disciples with the good news. But the disciples did not believe her. Then he appeared to another two, and they went and told the disciples about Jesus. But in Mark 16:13, we read, they did not believe them either. Finally, Jesus appeared to the 11. In Mark 16:14, we read that Jesus rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. It is especially peculiar that the early church cherished the memory that the message of the resurrected Jesus was entrusted firstly to the most unusual candidate, a woman out of whom Jesus cast out seven demons. Jesus chooses a person who, from human perspective, would not be considered for such an important task. Today, we also may have difficulty believing those who, from our perspective, are not ordained disciples or do not belong to the inner circle. But in Mark's ending, we see how the message of the kingdom of God that Jesus preached is manifested. The Gospel of Mark is a gospel of inclusiveness. Jesus calls and chooses not only the disciples, but also the marginal and the outcasts. And that's today's hidden treasure. And it's fascinating how those most unexpected people, they
sure.
are called to be the first evangelists.
Sure.
Because the word evangelist or gospel means the good news.
Yeah.
They're the ones who bring the good news mm-hmm. because they bring the good news of the new kingdom, the kingdom where death
yeah.
is not death anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why do you think that is so important for Mark to emphasize at the very end of his book that that it's a gospel of inclusiveness?
I think it's important, and I really love The Hidden Treasure, and I'm happy to get to add a little bit to it. I was a little eager before. But I think it's really important because I think even today, when people who are marginalized have a message that has been given from God, people still don't want to listen. I think there is a preference for listening to the elites and to people who fit into our perception of who God should be speaking through. And so I just wonder if, you know, even today we have the same reaction to people who God are calling that the disciples had to these, you know, women who had these very important messages from the Lord to share.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that. I actually took it a completely different way. I think if Jesus had presented himself as only coming for those who had been very trained and educated, he would have been perpetrating the system that had been in existence for so long. Yeah. And that was not his goal. His goal was to say, anyone can come to me.
Yeah.
And this is something for all of us, because that's how, that gives me faith in being able to believe now, because I know that I'm not worthy. And, you know, when I go around the world and you see the impoverished people and the sick people, this is a God that they can relate to and that they can seek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. I saw, like, what's mentioned, that he mentions that it was Mary, the one that he took the sin away from.
Yeah.
Like, he makes an emphasis of how even the worst of sinners can receive the best of news, and Jesus will reach out to them.
And that's who he's interested in seeking. He could have appeared before Rome, before everyone, and said, look, I have resurrected. All bow before me and worship me. But instead, he appears to this person that he had this encounter with. Maybe even the person who anointed him before his death.
Exactly.
He appears to these people who he was close to.
Because he's so personal.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe she came because she was so grateful. I mean, there's something to be said about understanding that you are a sinner and have received grace from Jesus. And so maybe some of the other people didn't realize the extent to which Jesus had sacrificed and saved them.
Right. Her life changed drastically because of him.
Do you remember who denied Jesus three times?
Peter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Peter, we know that. Look what that angel tells these women when he sees them.
Peter.
In verse 7, Jillian.
He says, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. And
this is just incredible. He says, you know what? That woman who had seven demons, she will be entrusted with the most important message to go and tell all disciples and Peter. The one who denied me three times. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you come to him and say, and you know what? Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Even though you denied him three times, Jesus loves you. And he goes ahead of you. And that's why Jesus loves you too, despite whatever you experienced in your life, whether it's seven demons or whether it's denial of Jesus. Jesus loves you. And he's going ahead of you where you go.
That's right. And make sure to take the time to respond to today's question. Our question is, what is the significance to you of serving a risen Lord?
Welcome back to Cross Connection. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And thank you for not keeping it to yourself.
That's right. And so I'll jump in with a comment. I love this comment we have here from Doug on Facebook. Again, our question is, what is significant to you about the fact that that you serve a risen Lord? Doug's response is very cool. He says, unlike being moved by the words of some long-dead philosopher, the fact that Jesus is alive and well gives a vitality to my faith. I can talk to him and he can speak to me in the here and now. Praise God. Yes, praise God, Doug, and thank you so much for your comment. I love that. It's not a long dead philosopher.
Yeah.
It's someone that we can actually interact with and get connected to in a real way.
He's here.
So, that's awesome.
Well, this is the second half of our study now, and now, as I promised, we will just take a look at the entire Gospel of Mark in a couple of minutes.
Wow.
So this will be a great overview, and I would encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to read the entire Gospel of Mark in one hour, make sure to do it after the program, because you will see how all those themes will come alive. Because this is where the Word of God, this is like the Word of God sets our hearts on fire.
Amen.
It comes alive in our lives.
Yes.
So, Sergio, what is going to be happening right now?
So we're going to be going through each chapter in the Gospel of Mark. That it's been a few months now, but we've finished the Gospel of Mark. We'll be going through each chapter, and we'll be looking back at each episode of Cross Connection, taking a quick clip and kind of summing up what that chapter was all about.
So it will take us about 18 hours, by the way. No. So in Mark 1, we read about Jesus, who started his ministry by casting out demons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Demons, in their turn, were terrified of Jesus because they knew who he was. So what can we learn from that? Let's take a closer look together.
The Pharisees, they had evils and demons, and they were the leaders of the church, but they were filled with the same spirit as this man.
Because no one is immune to this evil. Right. In fact, this is fascinating because those spirits, they say in verse 24, "Did you come to destroy us?"
Yes. And I love that, Ola, because there's not a battle. There's not that they see Jesus and they go, "All right, fellas, here he comes, let's battle." They immediately admit defeat upon seeing him. Jesus is so powerful that even immediately upon seeing him, that they immediately admit defeat. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's so powerful. Any demon I have in my life, anything that I'm struggling with, anything that I can't get over, I just imagine that problem looking at Jesus coming and just going running. You know, that my problem is looking at Jesus and going, "Oh boy, Jesus is here." And then it's done. It's all over with.
So what does the fact that demons know who Jesus is give us?
I think it's exactly what Sergio was saying at the end of the clip. It's like anything in my life can be defeated by Jesus immediately from chapter one. Jesus is the one in control.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah.
Even Jesus. Dead at the end.
Yeah. Demons are the ones who know who he is.
They even ask for mercy from him in some of their encounters. There's no battle, you know, when we think of in terms of the battle between good and evil. There's no battle when Jesus encounters evil. They just are scared, and they Jesus sends them running. And I think, again, any problem that it's not a physical, actual demon that I can't control, but I have problems in my life. I have things that control me that I don't control them.
Absolutely.
I just need to stop fighting them, stop battling, and give them to Jesus.
Give them to Jesus. Who's in the way of it being overcome.
Exactly.
Let's not be on the way. Okay, let's go to our second chapter, Mark chapter 2. One of the prominent themes of Mark's gospel is inclusiveness, and we learned it just now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus even reclines with tax collectors and sinners. He doesn't care because he's bringing another type of kingdom to this world. Let's see. Here's this rabbi who is supposed to be the representation of the holiness on earth.
Yeah.
Here he does what?
Yeah.
He eats with sinners and tax collectors, the ones who we hate.
We see acceptance again. We see it again in Jesus' ministry that he's about accepting even people that you hate that are sinners. Yeah. And I love this notion that when you come to Jesus and he forgives you of your sins, it's not by some distant waving of a magic wand you're forgiven. He comes and he hugs you and he reclines with you and he spends time with you and he eats with you and he communes with you. And that is how you are restored with Jesus, not by some distant waving of his wand. He actually gets close with you and becomes almost like your brother, and you become you become one with him.
And that is exactly the story when Jesus is reclining.
Yeah.
That is exactly the word that we use. Because Jesus was laying down and some other ones, they were literally laying down next to another person.
And I remember we discussed this in John, how the Last Supper would have taken place. It wouldn't have been in chairs at a high table. They would have been lying down with someone just right alongside you, and you recline with them. It's one thing to think of Jesus sitting at a table on a chair and he's here and a prostitute is there, but he's reclining with a prostitute right there with him, with other sinners, with lepers, with tax collectors, being that intimate with them that I think then we see, it's just powerful to me that the God of the universe wants to be that close to me.
I think the significance, though, is that at least those people recognized they were sinners, because everyone is a sinner. Mm-hmm. But the key to getting close to Jesus is recognizing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Yeah. The key to staying far from Jesus is thinking that you're not a sinner.
Yeah, absolutely. That you don't need him. Absolutely.
You don't need him.
Exactly.
That is great.
All right, well, now we got to look at Mark 3, the next chapter. And in Mark 3, Mark presents a notion of Jesus and the Sabbath. And in exploring that chapter, we got a really cool insight into what the Sabbath is really all about. And here's what Ryan had to say.
If you don't have the Sabbath, you don't have creation. And if you don't have creation, then you can have a Big Bang, an evolution, and we're all just here by chance and we have no purpose. The Sabbath was created in the Garden of Eden, at creation,
So when for the sake of people.
For the sake of people and ox, all of your ox
yes.
that you have at home in your
and
backyard.
Trees.
And everything. I mean, it's for all of God's created beings down here for us to enjoy time with Him uninterrupted. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to not let us have that because he knows if we have that refreshing every week, because look how beautiful it is. It's at the end of the week and it takes us into the start of the next week. Mm-hmm. So it's when we're tired and then it gives us a jump start into the next week. So it's perfectly placed. It's just what we need, just when we need it. And that was why it's so perfect, because God created it for us for that reason.
And I love that chapter, guys, because, you know, we explore the notion that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Uh-huh. And how powerful is that when He's a risen, resurrected Lord, uh-huh. that even now I can find rest in Jesus. And we have this Sabbath, this amazing time where even with that once dead Jesus, you know, I can have a communion mm-hmm. with Him still.
It is so encouraging because even in the fact that it is the Sabbath, He takes care of His people.
Mm.
Says,
yes.
You know, I love you so much that I, please, for your sake, mm-hmm. take this time off because yeah. I want you to I want you to be recreated mm-hmm. in me. Mm-hmm.
To be intimate, as we were just, that inclusiveness, to be close to us, to be, yeah. to spend time one-on-one.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is just.
You know, and can I take a comment from real quick? I'll take a comment from Daniel on Facebook. And when we look what Daniel has to say, I think it ties to what we're talking about now. Daniel's response to our question is, the significance is that I am serving the real, true God. He is the one so powerful who can make the effect of death disappear, give us eternal life, and promise us a world without sin. And I think it ties to what we're talking about, that we are so restored in Him that even death is no longer the end for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the restoration that we get in Him, even death is not even a thing to Him. You know, that
yeah.
He constant rejuvenation and refreshes from the Creator.
Because even Jesus Himself, He rested on
yes.
the Sabbath.
Yeah.
That's right.
I
in
love
the
that.
Tomb.
Yeah. I yep. love that.
In the tomb. Excellent. Yeah.
All right. Now we're on to Mark chapter 4. And Mark chapter 4 is a chapter that's unique in that it's full of parables and it has a lot of meaning. And we explored that, but we explored how we might share it with others. Check it out.
I mean, for me personally, I think it's something that if we have the Word of God to share it, if we, mm-hmm. that's the light. You know, sharing our beliefs, sharing our convictions, sharing how we came into Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And may I add, too, not only just sharing the Word verbally, but living the Word out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Word becomes alive in you, you know, it says, sanctify them by thy truth, that Word is truth. So as you're reading the Word and you're becoming a new creature mm-hmm. and you're going beyond your comfort zone, like the analogy you were saying, having a bad day, but yet still you're praying, asking God to give mm-hmm. you that patience to be able to be friendly with people, people will see that and they'll see something different than everybody else around them. Mm-hmm. And that will draw people close to Jesus.
All right, so we saw there in that group that none of our girls were there, but to refresh, those parables were about, always about sharing something. The parable of the sower, parable of a lamp on a stand, it's about sharing, broadcasting your faith. And so that was really fun to go over, to really not just absorb through the Word, but to absorb and then share.
And what does it mean for us today to become that Word, that living Word?
To be able to share it, to have the personal relationship with God, to enjoy the time with Him on the Sabbath, to recline with Him, and then to give that blessing to others.
So we see once again how all those themes, they come together.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to Mark chapter 5. Wherever Jesus would go, He would always find a way to restore people's life. In Mark 5, we went over a couple of amazing miracles that all highlight the incredible way that Jesus can restore us today as well.
One thing I take away from just looking at the stories in, you know, Mark chapter 5, is that each of them, it just shows how Christ, He just came to totally restore man.
Yeah. Because
when you look at the demon-possessed man, it says that he was in his right mind.
Yeah.
So that means that he can cure us of any mental diseases that are out there. And then also with the woman, you know, who had that issue of blood, that's something physical.
Right.
You know, a physical sickness that probably even bothered her emotionally as well. So you see like the physical and the emotional. Then
and
with the daughter.
Financial, because she spent all her money
that
trying
too.
To cure mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
And then also, you know, even the life issue. So it's like it's like we live in a society pretty much of broken individuals.
Mm.
And a lot of them, the reason why they have those demons, they're trying to find something to cure them. When Jesus is saying, I am the cure for anything you're going through mental, anything you're going through physical, you know, spiritual, you know, emotional. And even if you want life, come to me. Because in Mark chapter 2:17, He says, those that are well, they don't need a physician.
Mm-hmm.
But those that are sick, He said, I came not to call the righteous, mm-hmm. but sinners to repentance. And so I just like that aspect of just looking at Mark chapter 5, how He's compassionate.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know it.
Yeah.
But they can see it in us, and we can share it with them so that they can know.
Jesus wants to bring this restoration to you as well. And let's go to Mark chapter 6.
That's right. We got to get going. This is action-packed. And Mark 6 is action-packed as well because there's so many things that happened. Jesus is rejected. He sends out the 12 disciples. John the Baptist is murdered then. Then Jesus feeds the 5,000. Then he walks on water. And here's a quick reaction to all that.
I think there's a difference between being quiet and being timid. Because when I first, you know, reading the sending out the 12, if you're just reading it and you're not really thinking about it, it's kind of like, well, is Jesus telling them to give up? Like, well, if you're not successful, just give up. And I don't think that's what the message is. And I think it's an interesting juxtaposition between where you're rejected, move on, and that kind of know the kind of role you need to take, but don't be afraid to back down, because John the Baptist didn't, his message didn't end when his life did.
Nice, Jillian. That was great.
Yeah, I'm
like, let's move forward. Let's move forward to chapter. What is it? Chapter
seven.
Absolutely, yep. Chapter seven. Yeah. Traditions can be positive and negative. Jesus is clearly against any tradition that forgoes the commandment of love, and this is what we studied in the Mark 7 episode of Cross Connection.
I do think sometimes that traditions, because of our human nature, the car can start driving us, to use Diego's example. Because I think sometimes when we have traditions, we sometimes insulate ourselves because I have a tradition that's different from yours. And if it's different, therefore, that's the thing that makes me better than you. Because I'm always looking to be better than everyone else. That's our mentality. So if my tradition is different, that means it's better because it's mine. And I think sometimes that's a way where the car can drive us if we're not careful. And that's where we need to look at Jesus, because Jesus asks that we die to ourselves and be born again.
Sometimes it's so difficult to resist the traditions, but we need to forego the tradition for the sake of others.
And now we got to move on. Mark 8. Mark 8. Jesus compared feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000. And as we closed our study, we looked at one final story, a blind man who was healed, but he was healed in multiple stages. And Jasmine helped explain how we sometimes need a few stages to see things clearly over time. Yeah.
As you're seeing this man who doesn't see clearly, of course we know he doesn't make mistakes, but I'm looking at that, I'm seeing, you know, how many times in our lives where we can't see things clearly, like maybe down the path, we're trying to see ahead of what God's trying to do, and maybe it's going to take time for us to actually see in its wholeness what God is trying to have us understand. Yeah. We're not going to get things right away all the time. It may take steps.
That's right. So sometimes if God needs to work on you, that's okay. Let him work on you. Eventually, you'll be able to see clearly. We got to take a short break right now. But remember, this is your last chance to share your thoughts on today's question. Now, I'm connected. Oleg's connected. Jillian, Martha.
We're all connected.
So why don't you get connected with today's question? What is the significance to you of serving a risen Lord?
Welcome back, and thank you for being a part of Cross Connection today. And we are overviewing.
Looking through the whole Gospel.
The whole Gospel of Mark. And we will continue our journey. We are in Mark chapter 9 right now. So let's jump in Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, we explored what true greatness really is. And here Jennifer explains what it means to pick up our cross.
But you're not earning your salvation by picking up your cross. You're obeying Jesus. That's the difference.
Absolutely.
You're not earning anything. You're obeying Jesus. And as you were saying, it is a cross, because every time you decide to do what God wants you to do instead of doing what you want to do, you're picking your cross up.
And this is the teaching that Jesus constantly reminds us about. Yeah. If you want to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. Deny.
And how much easier is that now in the context of what we just studied earlier in the show of a risen Jesus, of one who picked up his cross, went to his death, but now he is resurrected. Mm-hmm. So I want to follow him and pick up my cross as well.
Yeah. And let's move to our chapter 10.
Yeah. All right, chapter 10. In chapter 10, Jesus predicted his death for the third and final time. Now, not coincidentally, right after that, we read about how true greatness lies in serving.
if I can add, just learning from this, if we look at Jesus' end and he's always saying, you know, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. I think if we apply that to what we learned a little few minutes ago about being great, instead of always asking, what can I get out of this or how can I be at the top, instead, but lowering yourself to say, you know, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. What can I do for this person instead? Mm-hmm. So I think that's another angle that we can look at learning from Jesus.
You know, and I hate to do this, but I keep tying everything into the resurrection because we just studied it. But Jesus served us throughout all of Mark. Mm-hmm. We see a Lord who served us, and then he conquered everything. And I think that empowers me to want to serve others too. It's not an act of weakness. Mm-hmm. It's an act of power. And we know that because of the resurrection, that really there's power in serving others.
And in Mark 11, we actually see how Jesus is willingly entering Jerusalem. We read about Jesus triumphantly entering Jerusalem on a donkey and cleansing the temple. The Pharisees' response was to question his authority immediately. And we explore this issue of Jesus' authority.
Well, if someone doesn't have authority, then nothing that they say or do really carries any weight to us anyway. Mm-hmm. If some person just comes up to you and tells you to do something, you're not my mom, you know, you don't have to, I don't have to listen to you. So it's the same type of mentality. These people, I think they could sense, because they didn't react the way a normal person would. If you know you're right, you react differently. When you know you're wrong, you know you're wrong. You might act out and lash out like they were, but just from the way they were acting and the questions they were asking him, they were still trying to trap him after all of this. They knew they were wrong. Mm-hmm. They just didn't want to admit to it. They knew he had the authority. They just didn't want to admit to him. Because if they admit that he is the Son of God, then all of this that they've been doing, all these games they've been playing, what would be the recourse? What would be the reason they would give to the people?
And I hope you are encouraged to read the entire Gospel according to Mark after this, because there are so many interesting things there.
Yeah.
In Mark chapter 12, we explored how all the religious leaders kept trying to trap Jesus. And every time, Jesus gives an unexpected response.
Well, see, the thing that I love about Jesus is that he clarifies what the Old Testament says. So we don't have to guess what very means in Deuteronomy, because we can just read what Jesus says God meant here when it says, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But even better than just making sure we understand the words of the Old Testament, he also shows us how to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So he gives us teaching, but he also gives us an example. And I think if we follow Jesus' example, we never have to guess how we should be loving God.
This is so great.
And others.
And again, we love God and others because he first loved us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Amen. Isn't
it? Yeah, in Mark chapter 13, we looked at the only prophecy of Jesus and what it really means to us. And Jillian had a really nice summation of the whole thing.
The subtle message is, trust me. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know these things. I'm telling you what to watch for. You're going to be prepared. Trust me. Don't look at your watch or the Mayan calendar. Trust me.
So often we are caught up with these ideas, trying to figure out what the future would look like.
Yeah.
But Jillian, thank you so much for putting this out. Jesus is saying, trust me.
No, I think you nailed it. Because I think so many times we try to decipher prophecy and we try to turn ourselves into the people that know everything about prophecy. And it's the exact opposite thing that Jesus is saying, that God is saying in Jesus.
The answers are here.
It's trust in God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're in his hands. So then we move on to Mark 14. And Mark 14 deals with the closing hours of Jesus' life right before the cross. In it, we find two ways of responding to Jesus. There's the woman who anoints him and the disciple, Peter, who betrays him. And Jennifer highlights how we all have the same choice today.
But I think a lesson for today is, everyone is not going to celebrate what you do for Jesus, even the followers of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And everyone is not going to understand what Jesus is asking you to do. So you have a couple of choices. You can look at the indignant faces and become discouraged and decide not to do it, or you can make a decision to follow Jesus.
Jen, that's perfect. You summed it right up. All of 14 right there in that statement. I hope you remember Mark 15, because that was just last week. In fact, we read the end of it just today. And this is about the cross and the forgiveness we received there. And in the example of Peter, we see someone who desperately needs and ultimately receives forgiveness.
This way he wants to transform your life as well. And if you feel like Peter, the one who denied Jesus multiple times, and you feel that you are completely devastated and exhausted. But remember that Jesus wants to give you second and third and fourth and fifth chance. And if you feel like Simon the Cyrene, who doesn't know anything about Jesus, but who watches this program, and you feel maybe that you want to carry this cross and you want to be transformed. So this is what we would like to experience as well every day.
Oleg, that was a great summation. And, you know, for those of you that have really, really bad memory, Oleg, is it possible for us to sum up Mark 16?
Let's try to sum up Mark 16, which is today's study. So let's check it out.
I think when you see that the kingdom of heaven, like we were saying, transcends any of our social boundaries, ethnic boundaries, gender boundaries, boundaries of power, that when you see that no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what the world says you are or how low you should be or ought to feel about yourself, that you are accepted and that you are loved and that you are saved, then your response is, I don't care about any of these social or ethnic or gender or any boundaries anymore either, because my kingdom transcends that. And so you stop to follow the rules of this world in the way that you used to, and that you're not afraid to then walk up to Pilate and say, give me Jesus. You know, I don't care that it might mean my head, give me Jesus.
Thank you, Sergio.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
Exactly. More 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
This is just incredible. So we see how everything comes together.
Yeah.
And we can sum it up in just a couple of words. We see Jesus presented as the one who accepts everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Inclusiveness is one of the themes.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Son of God is another theme. Jesus is the one who encourages us to become his disciples, deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow him. And ultimately, it all ends by Jesus himself taking the cross, dying for us, and being resurrected.
Resurrected. Amen. You know,
and Oleg, I want to take a comment that ties along another theme, which that theme is that his kingdom is not of this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Casey has a comment on Facebook that alludes to that. Casey says this in response to our question of what's significant about serving a risen Lord. Casey says, the significance to me is being able to serve a cause that is eternal. Mm. We're all looking for a lasting purpose and a lasting cause to follow. The truth is the only and person and place that is found is in Jesus. So thanks, Casey, for your comment, because we really, his kingdom is not of this world. And in fact, in the resurrection, we see his kingdom is eternal.
Yeah, it's everlasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am, the great I am.
So what is your takeaway lesson? This has been an incredible study, and I learned a lot.
Okay, me first. So I had a youth pastor that said, whenever you're presenting the Bible, give them hope. Mm. And to me, that is what the Gospel of Mark does. The demon possession, the signs of the end, death. There is hope in Jesus. Give them hope.
And I have to jump in on behalf of our viewers now, because our viewers are saying the same thing. It's so amazing that you said hope, because we have a few comments that are about hope. Bridget sends us a text that's exactly about hope. Bridget's first word is hope. Yep. Everything he has said or done has come true. I'll take one more. Danielle on Facebook, again talking about hope. Danielle says, the resurrection of Jesus gives meaning to our hope. He promised to return soon and take us to live with him. And it's just, there's so much hope in that it's not a dead person's teachings. Mm-hmm. It's a risen Lord's kingdom that gives me hope.
Yeah, everything he said would happen has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my takeaway lesson was going for, because everything that we see in Mark, all the miracles, the parables, it can happen again because he's risen and there's hope because he is alive and he's close to us today.
I love that.
That's why in the Gospel according to Matthew, lo, I'm with you always.
Always.
Jennifer.
I guess the thing that just sticks out to me is the beauty of Jesus' character. And when you just study Mark and look at his character, who wouldn't want to follow Jesus? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the most awesomest person in the world.
It is.
Absolutely. And that is what the Cross Connection is trying to do, because we don't necessarily just study the birth and the death of Jesus Christ, but even
it's his life.
His life.
Yes.
Right, and that person is alive now. We serve a living God.
Amen.
Well, those things aren't things that in the past tense.
No.
Those are things he can do, will do in our lives, and is doing for people's lives.
Yeah.
And we just need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and serve that living Lord, that living Jesus.
And this is what we would like to encourage us and all of you as well, all of us, to experience. the fact that Jesus is risen. Mm-hmm. Not just risen, but the fact that Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
The fact that he was walking this earth and he knows us better than anybody else knows us.
Amen.
Even better than our parents know us.
Mm. And it just gives purpose to our lives and to our existence, to everything. It's that he is risen. And we need to tell people.
He's not a, what did you call him, a dead philosopher? He's there.
Jillian, Martha, Jennifer, everybody, thank you so much for being such an incredible part of Cross Connection, because it's always a great blessing. The earliest gospel, the Gospel of Mark, presents Jesus as the Son of God who came to transform the entire world. The way he does it is simply mind-boggling. He picks up a cross and dies for the entire world. But this is not the end. The resurrection of Jesus is the greatest proof of his victory. On the pages of Mark's Gospel, we see how some people would let Jesus transform their lives and others would reject him entirely. Today we have the same choice. But by letting Jesus transform our lives, we can experience true life today and forever. So until next time, stay connected with Jesus Christ in your everyday life and also on Cross Connection.